Appreciate the reading of the text that we had earlier, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 10. We'll take our study from verse 10 of that text, Titus chapter 2. I want to read again verse 9 and 10 from the New King James Version. Titus 2, verse 9 in the New King James Version. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. In this context, in the reading we had earlier, Titus was told to exhort and admonish the older men, the older women, the younger women, the younger men, and even bondservants are literally slaves. Slaves who were Christians. In our context, he said, exhort bondservants or slaves to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not stealing, not thieving, but showing all good fidelity, trustworthiness, faithfulness, dependability, that in order that or so that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. One's behavior as a Christian might adorn the doctrine of God, that is, the Word of God. But one's behavior as a Christian also might make it to be something unattractive, something that's not beautiful. Titus 2 and in verse 5, in our context, the younger women were admonished or exhorted by the older women to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband. Notes this, that, so that, or in order that, the word of God may not be blasphemed. Blasphemed here means to be slandered, defamed, reviled, railed against. Some people use impious and irreverent speech toward God and toward His word. And that's what's under consideration. So if the young women are not discreet and chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, the word of God could be spoken of in a very vile way, in a slanderous and defamatory way. But the word of God can also be made beautiful according to our text. Adorn the doctrine of God. The word adorn here is the Greek word from which we get our English word cosmetic. What do cosmetics do? They beautify. They make one attractive. And that's what we're to do with the word of God. By our actions and deeds in this life, we beautify the word. We make it attractive. We garnish it in a way in which it becomes attractive and pleasing to those of the world. This word is used in the New Testament several times. Speak about adorning or garnishing something in Matthew 23 and in verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tomb of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. They garnish those monuments. Make them beautiful. Luke 21 and in verse 5. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and decorations. So the temple in Jerusalem was made beautiful by the magnificent stones. 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 5, for in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorn themselves. Our study this morning concerns adorning the doctrine of God, adorning the Word of God, making it to be attractive, making it to be something pleasing in the eyes of man, so that they'll be want to be a part of it, want to obey it in their life. You know, there's great value in making things attractive. Satan even knows that. When he tempted Eve in Genesis 3 and in verse 5, Satan said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman, note this, saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye. There's the idea, pleasant to the eye. It was attractive to the eye. It was delightful to the eye. A tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. If Satan had not made the fruit attractive or pleasing or delightful to the eye, she may not have taken of it. But Satan knows the value of making something attractive, making something beautiful. Acts 2 and in verse 46 and following, we learn that the Christians in the first century also adorned the doctrine of God. They made Christianity attractive. Acts 2 and verse 46, so continuing gaily and on accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Praising God, note this, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Having favor with all the people. They were in goodwill with all the people. Evidently, their lives that they were leading were attractive to the people of that day. There were no problems with them becoming Christians. The problems began to happen later. But at the beginning, when the gospel was first being preached, Christians had favor or goodwill among the people. Making the Word of God attractive is within each one of us his own power. Paul said of the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. All men see us, they read us, they look upon our actions, deeds, and behavior, and if it's not something that pleases them, they turn away from it. They know when they see ugly conduct, ugly behavior, something they do not want to participate and be a part of." And so we, as Christians, can make the Word of God attractive. The Scriptures speak of this in many different ways. Matthew 5 and in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven." They may see your good works. Good works, virtuous works. Works that are upright. Works that are pleasing in the sight of God. They see them and thus they glorify God. They praise God because of what they see. Of course, they'll not do that until they become Christians. But your actions, your deeds and behavior will hopefully help them to recognize and realize their need for becoming children of God.
Amen.
So our question for the hour is, how can people make the Word of God attractive? As children of God, how do we make it attractive? How do we garnish it? How do we beautify it? It is the Word of God. It's beautiful in and of itself. But we can adorn the doctrine of God. Again, Titus 2 and verse 10. So how can we do that? Well, some people would perhaps want to add to the Word of God a little bit here and a little bit there. And by adding to the Word of God, they think that would make it attractive. But we have to understand that we cannot make the Word of God attractive by doing that which God does not authorize. If God does not authorize it, it doesn't make it attractive. It makes it something ugly. It no longer is the Word of God. In Revelation 22 and verse 18, Jesus said, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." But some people want to add a little bit here and add a little bit there. They think that will make the Word of God attractive. But it doesn't make the Word of God attractive. Detracts from the beauty of the Word of God. It makes it something ugly. The old man might think it makes it beautiful. It amazes me that people, look upon Christmas as a religious holiday that is authorized in Scripture. A man asked me about that just the other day, and I said, Christ didn't authorize it, so he must not be pleased with it. I thought that would lead to an opportunity to talk about scriptural matters, but it did not. But nonetheless, people believe that if they add things to the Scriptures, it makes it more beautiful. Well, it makes it more beautiful, perhaps, in their eyes, but not in God's eyes. And then there are those people who want to take a little bit away here and take a little bit away there, and they think if that taking away a little bit, it makes it more attractive. Like Mark, or Matthew 19:9. Whoever divorces one for some other cause other than fornication, they believe if they could do that, if they could divorce one for some other cause other than fornication, it'd make it more attractive. Well, it does to some people. And so they go about divorcing their mates for any cause or for any reason. But it doesn't make it attractive to God. When we beautify it, when we adorn the doctrine of God, it has to be beautiful not only to us, but to God who brought it into existence. God who spoke it. And so adding a little bit here, a little bit there, taking away a little bit here, a little bit there, is no way to make the Word of God attractive. John says in 2 John in verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That is, he doesn't have fellowship with God. He who abides in the doctrine of God has both fellowship with the Father and the Son. So if you want to be in a relationship with the Father and the Son, we have to abide within the authoritative teachings of the Word of God. Abide within what the Scripture says. Don't try to add to it and take from it. As a matter of fact, those who try to add to it or take from it, they're not making the Word of God attractive. They're actually becoming accursed of God by destroying the beauty of the Word to begin with. Galatians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who calls you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there's some who troubled you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. That's the word. Dedicated or devoted to destruction is what the word means. So, the gospel has got to remain just as it is. So, how do we beautify the word? Well, we don't beautify the word by adding to it or taking from it. We don't beautify the word by changing the word to suit ourselves. So, the question still is, well, how can people, especially us as children of God, make the Word of God attractive? Well, people can make the Word of God attractive first and foremost by obeying the Word of God. Showing that the Word of God will do exactly what it says it will do. Save your soul. Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to or unto or in order to salvation. The gospel is God's power to bring about your salvation. The way that you can make it attractive is to show that it will save your soul. Become obedient to it. That's how you make the Word of God attractive. Obey it. It will save your soul. Now God exerts power in many different ways. You know, years ago he blew the top off of Mount St. Helens. That was his destructive power. But his power to save is exercised in and through the gospel, and no other way. And when you let the gospel save your soul because of your obedience to it, you've shown the Word of God to be beautiful, to be attractive. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, Paul said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That is, it's the very breath of God. And it's profitable, it's advantageous for doctrine, that is for teaching, for reproof, that is for conviction. It will convict you of your sins. It will prove to you that you are a sinner. And then what will it do? Not only will it convict you and show you guilty of sin, but it will show you how to make correction in your life. And it will provide you instruction in the way of righteousness, that is how to live right in this life. Yes, it is of great value, great profit, the Word of God. Obey it, and you make it beautiful in your life. You make it attractive to others. You show other people what it will do to you. When they see a changed life for the better, they want to be a part of it. That's what they want. Another way to make the Word of God attractive is simply to be genuine and true in all your social responsibilities. Is that not what Titus was telling the slaves of his day? Christian slaves. He didn't say, run from your master. No, in this particular period of time, many people owned slaves and many nationalities were slaves. And they were slaves for many different reasons. Sometimes people sold themselves into servitude, into slavery, simply in order to live, in order to survive. So there were many different reasons why people were in slavery. Some chose to be in slavery. And Christian slaves were to live as Christians and adorn the doctrine of God. They were to fulfill their responsibility in that position in which they were in. Not to thieve, not to pilfer, not to steal, but to be faithful, dependable, loyal, and true to their master. And so fulfilling the true and genuine responsibilities that they had in the position in which they were in. In 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 1, Paul spoke of him and those who labored with him in the preaching of the gospel doing that. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. The hidden things of shame are those things that are hidden or secret that people would do to bring about shame on themselves. Paul and those who labored with him, they had renounced those and rejected those things. Not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul understood that his conduct and his behavior among those whom he was preaching and teaching had a great deal to do with their reception of it. And he tried to fulfill his duties, responsibilities, and obligations as a gospel preacher in such a way that it would make the Word of God attractive to them. And so being faithful in our responsibilities enables us as Christians to make the Word of God attractive. Another way to make the Word of God attractive is simply to be pure in our life. That is to lead a pure life, a clean life, a moral life in the eyes of God. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe, note this, your chaste or pure conduct accompanied by fear. So the wife, because of her pure or chaste conduct, has the opportunity to influence the husband for good. She makes the word of God attractive by her life. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 3. Do not let your adornment be the merely outward arranging the hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. No, that he doesn't say, don't make yourself physically attractive. But the point is, don't just make your outward appearance physically attractive. Rather, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, or in this way, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. That is, they made their inward person beautiful. They made their inward person attractive. They adorned it by being pure and chaste. Not living an immoral life before God, they did indeed make the Word of God attractive by their purity. Another way to make the Word of God attractive is simply by our good works. We noted this earlier. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before God that they may see your good works. Agathos, good, virtuous, upright, that which is pleasing to God. There are works that are not good. Now man might call them good, but any work that God does not call good is not a good work. If it is not authorized and approved of God, it can't be a good work. Good works are those works that please God. They're virtuous, upright, and of course they bring about one's own righteousness. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 12, Peter said, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, how are they going to glorify, praise God in the day of visitation? That is, the day of His judgment, the day when He comes. Well, they'll become Christians. They see one's good works. And perhaps by seeing one's good works, one's virtuous and upright life exhibited in their behavior and conduct, they will eventually be led to glorify God, to praise God. Another way to make the Word of God attractive is by your speech. Colossians 4 and in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, in order that you may know how you ought to conduct or answer each one. Speech seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Well, I know you've eaten a meal and it would perhaps been so much better if you had some salt to put on it. You know, some foods are just more palatable with a little bit of salt added to it. And some people's speech would be much easier to swallow if it was just seasoned with a little salt. We ought to know how to speak before our fellow man so that our speech is spoken of by others as being gracious. Speech that is filled with grace is gracious speech. Speech that is seasoned with salt is gracious speech. It's charitable. It's kind, it's loving. It's not hateful and vile and foul, obscene. You know, today the speech of man is just, it is disgusting. Amen. Disgusting indeed. And I don't really understand it. You know, can you imagine a young lady coming home to her mother and father and saying, you just got to meet this young fella. You got to meet this young man. Oh, he has the foulest mouth you've ever heard. He tells the dirtiest jokes you've ever... Can you imagine some young lady coming home telling her parents that? But yet that's not how the young people speak today. All people speak of that way. In the most foulest and vulgar ways. And their speech certainly is not gracious. It certainly is not palatable. All they make out like it is to the crowd that they're around. They're cheered when they use such vulgar language. But it doesn't make the Word of God attractive and beautiful. It doesn't make anyone's life attractive and beautiful. It makes them ugly indeed. As a matter of fact, their words that come forth from their mouth shows how dark their soul really is.
Amen.
So we make the Word of God attractive by our good speech. And let's remember as children of God to do that. Another way to make the Word of God attractive is to encourage unity among brethren. Philippians 2 and in verse 14, Paul said, do all things without complaining and disputing. That in order that or so that you might become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do all things without complaining and disputing. How pleasant it has been to spend many years I've been with you here in this congregation without complaining and disputing, without grumbling, complaining. We thank God, and we should, and I appreciate Brother Yarber in the prayer that he mentioned the unity that exists here among the brethren.
Amen.
No complaining, no grumbling, no backbiting, no slandering, no defaming. We're at peace, and that's the way it ought to be. But we ought to encourage unity among one another. It makes the Word of God attractive. Because there's no complaining, no disputing, does that mean there's never been a time when someone didn't agree with someone else or someone didn't want to go along with what someone else wanted to go along with? No, all of that occurs because we're people. But that can occur even among a group that is unified and that loves and shows love for one another. So let's make the Word of God attractive by an always encouraging unity among one another. Another way to make the Word of God attractive is simply to practice what we preach. First and foremost way to make the Word of God attractive as a child of God. Practice what we preach. You know, the Jews in the first century didn't do that. In Romans 2 and in verse 17, and by the Jews I mean those who were unbelieving. Romans 2 and verse 17, Paul said, "Indeed, you who are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God," note that, "and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you are yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law." I want to suggest to you that all of those things could be said of us today as Christians. But note what these Jews did not do. Having all of that, "You therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" How do you make the Word of God attractive? By doing that which you preach. You say stealing is wrong, so don't steal. You make the Word of God attractive. Don't play the hypocrite, in other words. When you play the hypocrite, you don't make the Word of God attractive. If you preach and teach one thing and do the opposite, you make the Word of God ugly to people. Who wants to be a part of it? Who wants to obey it? So again, we read on Romans 10 and verse 22. "You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, detest idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." The Word of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Evil spoken against, slandered, defamed, and reviled among men if we do not practice what we preach. Amen. The best way to make the Word of God attractive, as I began our lesson with, is simply to obey the Word of God. Because it provides everything we need. The things we need in this life for godliness, that is reverence and respect for God, and into the life to come, eternal life. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, "As His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." God's divine power is His Word. And in His Word it provides all that we need to live a godly life. A life that shows pious and reverence and respect for God. A life that leads to eternal life, eternal salvation. The Word of God provides it all. And if we live it out in our life, through obedience to His will, we can make it attractive for others who want to be a part of it. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, make the Word of God attractive. Let it change your life. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're a child of the devil. Obey the gospel and become a child of God. Galatians 3:26. "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Become a child of God. Make your life attractive. Make the Word of God attractive by your life. If you're a child of God and have sin in your life, make the Word of God attractive. Continue to obey it. Repent of that sin. Confess that sin. Acknowledge it before man and before God, if necessary. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.